I was in undergraduate school at SMU in Dallas, I got a triple major. That's in history, religion, and Russian. I was only able to do that because I had lots of overlap between the three majors. History courses sometimes also counted for Russian courses, like history of Russia counted for both history and for Russian. And history of religion in America counted for religion and history. So it was by getting these overlap credits that I was able to manage a triple major, as well as a minor in anthropology. So that was kind of fun, too, to add into that interesting mix. But one of the things that SMU required, in addition to your majors and your minors, was a distribution classes in other departments. Classes in, for instance, in science, or in business, or in the arts, in areas other than your major, you were required to get additional course credits. And that also helped you to get minors or even possibly pick up a second major. Well, I took courses in all, of course, the departments from my distributions, but I also took a course in public speaking in the Meadows School of the Arts. And so I thought it would help me in doing, well, what I'm doing right now, which is preaching, and it indeed had a degree of impact on my preaching style later on. But I had a professor who taught me the class in public speaking who encouraged me also to take some courses in drama. And so I took several courses in acting, and it was nice because they knew about me then, and anytime they needed someone who could play a role, a Russian-speaking role, they would have me come and do that role. Or if they needed someone to advise them on what an actor should do or not do as a pastor, they would often ask me questions like that. But I got to play several important roles at SMU in their Broadway Classics productions. I got to play Colonel Pickering in My Fair Lady. Now, that was a fun role to play because all you had to do was sit around most of the time and drink port and say, "Oh, my goodness gracious, that's amazing," or my Lord, I think she's... And there was the part of Lucius in The Music Man. That was the Buddy Hackett sidekick to Professor Harold Hill, and I got to do the Shapoopy song and dance on the stage with the Harold Hill actor, and it was just an awful lot of fun to do that. I also was... cast as Baloo in The Jungle, which was a lot of fun, singing the bare necessities of life. That was a lot of fun. But my favorite role was to play a bad guy, a real nasty character. I got to play Mordred from Camelot, and that was a really fun role to play because he had some really fun, nasty songs. And one of those songs was The Seven Deadly Virtues. It describes Mordred's antipathy for the Christian virtues, many of which are based upon the description of those who live in the kingdom of God as articulated in the Beatitudes in today's reading from the Gospel. Now, it's morning still, and I don't have a great singing voice in the morning. In fact, I don't do much very well in the morning at all. I'm a much more of an evening or a nighttime person, but we'll see how we do on this, okay? This is Mordred's song, The Seven Deadly Virtues. Those seven deadly virtues, those nasty little traps, oh no, my Lord, they were not meant for me. Those seven deadly virtues, they're made for other chaps who love a life of failure and ennui. Take courage, now there's a sport, an invitation to the state of rigor mort, and purity, a noble yin, and very restful every now and then. I find humility means to be hurt. It's not the earth the meek inherit, it's the dirt. Honesty is fatal and should be taboo. Diligence of fate I would hate. If charity means giving, well, I give it to you, and fidelity is only for your mate. You'll never find a virtue unstatusing my quo or making my Beelzebubble burst. Let others take the high road, I shall take the low. I do not fear to rush in where angels fear to go. Of all those seven deadly virtues, free and happy little me has not been cursed. It's been 30-plus years, and I remembered that. Wow. Wow, for the most part, wow. Playing Mordred was a lot of fun. And, of course, he's playing with the virtues. He's He's taking liberty with the virtues. He's changing their names and some of their concepts. The classic virtues are, of course, chastity, temperance, charity, diligence, patience, kindness, and humility. And his remark about humility is the one that always gets me, always kind of strikes me to the core. It's not the earth the meek inherit, it's the dirt. And it sometimes feels like that, doesn't it? It does indeed sometimes feels as though it's not the earth, but the dirt that the meek inherit. Dirt getting kicked into your face, even. Except that that's a misunderstanding of the word meek. In the Greek New Testament, the language from which the New Testament was translated is Greek, and in the Greek New Testament, the word being translated here is an equestrian word, a word that deals with horses. And it means to tame them, to control them, to bring them under the yoke of a master, to bring them under the control of a lord or a master or a rider or someone who is going to have control over them with a rein and a yoke. In other words, the meek are those who have been tamed by God, those who have been brought under God's mastery, God's control, God's governance. Those who've been reined in and whose life and passions are governed by God. That's the meek. That's the meek, my friends. Those who have been guarded and mastered by God. Now, the saints are characterized by the Beatitudes. And so, and meekness is one of them. Humility is one of them. And so let's listen to some of these Beatitudes again and see, is this reflective of what we understand as the call of the saints? Man, I'm really hot today. By that I mean loud. Okay, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Wait a minute. I'm not sure I want to be a saint if this is the list of what we're supposed to be. If I've got to be poor, mourn, meek, hungry, merciful, pure in heart, a peacemaker, and persecuted for righteousness' sake, yuck, I think Mordred is right. Oh, no, my Lord, they were not meant for me. No, thank you, Your Majesty, as the first line goes. Yuck. I don't want to do this. If this is what it means to be a saint, you can forget it. No, thank you, Your Majesty. No. Huh. Perhaps, however, we should look not at the first part of the Beatitudes, but at the second part. Being a saint means having the kingdom of heaven, being comforted, inheriting the earth, being filled with righteousness, receiving mercy, seeing God, being children of God, having the kingdom of heaven, and having great rewards in the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's different. That is how we are blessed. These are the saints. Again, having the kingdom of heaven, being comforted, inheriting the earth, being filled with righteousness, receiving mercy, seeing God, being children of God, having the kingdom of heaven, and having great reward in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Those are the saints. That characterizes the saints. That typifies the saints. Those lists of qualities reflects the saints and God's presence with the saints and God's grace with the saints and God's love with the saints. Those characteristics are what we're talking about Well, Greg, I can't possibly measure up to this. I can't possibly live up to this high calling of sainthood that this requires. I'm barely having trouble allowing Jesus to master my life. My goodness gracious, how can I do the rest? By God's grace. One day I was asking kids in a children's sermon, what are the saints? And one little girl stood up and said, saints are people who follow God. And she was right. We may not look like saints, we may not act like saints, we may not talk like saints, we may not do the things that saints do, at least not in the big picture of what we think saints do. But in the end, if we follow God, in the end, if we love God and love neighbor as self, in the end, if we do those things that Jesus calls us to do, love our neighbor as ourself, love one another, if we live the life that Jesus calls us to live, if we follow Jesus, then regardless of what we look like and how we sound and how we act, or who we are, we are saints. That's true for those of us sitting here. Each and every one of you that I can see here today. Every one of you without exception that I can see here today. Yes?
Even those over here. Every one of you whose eyes I see looking at me. Over here. Every single one. Yes, congregation. Even them. Even me. Even Brian. We're all saints. Huh? Yep. Well, your halo is not showing, Jerry. Where is it? You need to polish it up? Oh,
we may not act like it, but the affirmation of faith that we have is that we are because of God, because of Jesus, because of God's grace, because of what God has done for us, with us, through us, and in us, because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us on the cross, because of who we are as called children of God, beloved of God, people who believe in God and follow God and submit ourselves to God's control. We are saints. I'll make it even harder. We're holy. Huh? Yeah. Anything that is offered to God and placed on God's table is agios, holy. That's true for the sacrament, that's true for our offering, that's true for the scriptures, that's true for ourselves. And when we today place these saints metaphorically by the flower that will be placed here on this altar, we are proclaiming they are God's. They are God's children, they are God's handiwork, they are God's meek ones, they are God's saints. We may know that they particularly weren't very saintly at times. We may remember some of the things they said that they probably wish they could have taken back, and it doesn't matter. They are chosen ones of God. They are the saints of God. And we are not separated from them except by life and death. Because God's grace holds us together with them as one. God's grace, which calls them and us into this relationship of sainthood with God, calls them and us to be together at the table of the Lord, calls them and us and enables them and us to be together at the table of the Lord and to receive the sacrament which we do not deserve, but which Jesus gives freely to us, the grace of God, which calls us into the family of faith, calls them into the family of faith, and keeps us in the family of faith, and keeps them in the family of faith. The communion of the saints means that we and those who've gone on before us gather at this table and receive the same grace and the same love and the same presence of Jesus together. As you come to the table of the Lord to receive today, know that you are not receiving alone. You're receiving with all the other saints who are here in this sanctuary, even those saints you don't like too much. You're receiving with all the saints of God here, and all the saints of God who have ever lived before us, including those we know and those we name here today. And you're receiving with all the saints in glory who will ever come after us. We are receiving together the grace of God in a congregation of faith, in a congregation of grace, in a congregation of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and let God's people say, Amen. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another using the prayer as printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Forgive all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of Esther and Isaiah, God of Mary and Joseph, God of Peter, John, and Mary Magdalene, God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, God of Paul the Apostle and Stephen the Martyr, God of our mothers and fathers, God of our children to all generations. With your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew us and our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you now with our lips and in the silence of our hearts. We name John King. We name Ruth Ann White. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at God's heavenly banquet with all the saints. By Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.